Okay, so welcome to week one of Private Practice Bootcamp. We have about half of the people who are able to be on the call today. I don't get everyone to just quickly introduce themselves, but just getting started. I realize I haven't actually had a chance to speak to all of you individually, so I'll introduce myself here quick. My name is Constance. Hopefully you all are in the right place and you knew that. And I'm in full-time private practice, and I've been in full-time private practice for a little over 5 years now, and I specialize in relationships, sex therapy, and addictions. And before I was in my own private practice, I was an associate in someone else's. I've also worked in agencies, and before I was a therapist, I actually worked in corporate finance. So I started from the business side of things, and then move my way into counseling, and then through this type of work, it's really allowed me to combine the two things that I really love, which is business and therapy. This is the fourth time that I've run the program as we're going to experience it now. Every time it morphs and I expand it a little bit more, so you're getting the new and up-to-date version, which I'm excited about. But I've been doing this kind of mentoring and coaching probably for the last 4 years or so. So I'm really excited that all of you are here, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun together. This is a really, really great group. There's a lot of experience here, and I'm just so excited for everybody to learn from each other and support each other. And I think there's going to be some pretty amazing things happening over the next 3 months. So I want to thank all of you for being here. And what I'd love to do is just with the people on the call is if you can just go around and just give just a quick kind of 30 seconds of your name and where you're located and just where you're at in your practice. I think most of you have been able to get into the online community, but I know there's a few people that haven't. So maybe what we'll do is I can actually see all of you even though you can't see each other. So I'll just call a name and we'll go that way. So maybe Tanu, can you start us off?
Sure. My name is Tanu Gamble, and I'm here in Vancouver, and I have just graduated from UBC just this past May, so I'm just right at the beginning of my counseling career.
Wonderful. And what is the area that you'd like to do your work in at this point? We're going to move throughout the program.
I'm actually, this is kind of what I'm exploring at the moment. I think I've did my practicum in a setting that was somewhat of a generalist, and I actually really enjoyed that. So I'm not really sure what area, but I'm definitely interested in looking into relationships.
Perfect. Wonderful. Well, thank you. You're welcome. Janine.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great.
I can't remember everything I was supposed to say. Yeah, so I'm actually located in Kelowna. And I have my MSW, and I focus on the clinical side of that. So I've been working in the field for about well over 10 years, but just since I've had my master's, it's only been about a year. But I was in a counseling position for the last 2 years as an addictions, mental health and addictions counselor. Did individual couples.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I've always, yeah. Have I forgotten?
Well, and I know, no, you're doing great. And I know you're kind of getting yourself set back. You're really starting with the private practice at this point, even though you have a lot of experience with the counseling side.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm brand new. It's something I've always sort of thought about in the distance, and I just really, it seems closer to, you know, there's no reason not to now. You know, I always thought I had to be, you know, 20 years in or whatever, but I think I'm ready.
Perfect. Wonderful. Well, I think you're in the right place. All right. So, Carmen.
Okay. Hi, my name is Carmen Thompson. I'm in Kimberley in the East Kootenay, and I just finished my internship, and that's one of the last steps of my PhD program. I was at UBC with Tanu, actually. And start doing my internship, not my schooling. I'm just looking to start up a private practice. I think it's just really the best option for me where I am. Lots of need, I think, in the community, but not a lot of positions. So it just seems like a good option. Sort of green in every way, green in the field and green, you know, in terms of business ownership, and pretty excited to learn.
Great. Thanks, Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
And Courtney.
Hi, guys. My name is Courtney, and I am located in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. And I was in Tanu's cohort at UBC and just graduated with my master's in counseling psychology. And I guess before doing my master's, I worked for 6 years with young people in and from foster care and adoptees. So I have some experience and I guess some expertise in working with at-risk youth and at-risk families. And the area that I'm currently really loving in my practice is probably couples work, and I'm really enjoying practicing from an EFT approach. And so in terms of launching a private practice, I'm hoping to continue to do some contract work, working with children and youth within a mental health setting, and then kind of launch a private practice where I specialize in doing individual work, but also couples work.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thanks, Courtney.
Yeah.
Smart.
Hello, everyone. My name is Summer. I am I'm in private practice for, let's say, a couple of years now. The first year I had a couple of clients, but then things shifted in my life, and now I'm working within a big private practice in West Vancouver, and I want to open my own private practice where I live in Moytrock. So, and I've graduated from Adler 2 years ago now, 3 years ago now. So
okay. This
is where I'm at.
Perfect. And mm-hmm. Who is it that you primarily work with? I know.
What again?
Oh, who is it that you primarily work with? I know your population, but just so you can share with everybody else.
My population, I would say right now it's couples, women, children. Anything that has to do with family, like I'm very eclectic, I would say, but it's like it's more about the topic, and then I design a treatment plan that can suit the whole family.
Perfect. Summer does a lot of really great workshops here and overseas as well, so I'm excited to have her here. I'm excited to have all of you here. And when the others are able to join us, we'll get them to introduce themselves. But what I wanted to use today's call for, this week's a little bit of getting everybody on the same page and getting you really aware of where we're starting from. Because mm-hmm. as of next week, things will start to move relatively quickly. And I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of time to get yourself set up and just get yourself in the mindset of what this routine is going to look like for you. So that way, once we really get into the meat of it next week, you're not all of a sudden having to try to figure out the time blocking and trying to figure out how the site works and just getting a sense of even just where you are at in your life. So I promise you it will pick up a little bit. but I also made sure that I've tried to pace it where we'll have a couple weeks that are maybe a bit more intense, and then we're going to have a week where it's more of a catch-up, more of an integrate that'll give you some time to really process what we've been working on. But next week it will pick up a little bit. Today I wanted to do some of the housekeeping pieces as well, and just again remind people that we have the online community at this point. I know there's a few people who are still just trying to get themselves signed up and get their G+ accounts all organized properly. That's really going to be the primary place for communication. So just make sure that you're checking it, and also make sure that you have the notifications turned on. I know in some cases they're not getting some of the update, so they're not getting some of the messages that are happening in the group just because the notifications aren't turned on. So if you go in there, if you're not able to find it, let me know and I can walk you through where to do that, but it's just a little button in the settings, and then that way you're going to get the notifications to let you know that there's something new happening in the group. And also just letting you know that the group itself, it's only for these 10 people. No one else is going to be added, and no one else is going to see what's happening in there. We really want to create a container so that way everybody feels safe, everybody knows who they're sharing with, and it won't be used for any other purposes other than this. At the end of the program, you'll all be invited to the alumni community, which is it's the same technology, but it's just a different group, and so you don't have to worry about somebody else down the road ever reading anything that you're putting up there. It's only going to be for the 10 of us that are in the program.
Excellent.
And with the membership site, so that's where the actual content is, if you're needing to log in, if you actually just go to the Business of Helping, just to the home page, and you look in the top menu, there's a button you can click right there, and it'll take you to your login page. So if you do happen to misplace the email that comes out that says you can log in at this link, you can just go to the main page, and you can easily find it there. And the call recordings, they go up a day after the actual call. So tonight's call recording, for anyone who is listening, they're going to be always up the day after the fact. So that's where you can go find them. And same with the bonuses. I believe all of you should be able to access the bonuses now. Has anyone hooked around and clicked on that?
Yeah. The online content?
Yeah. So it should be bonuses, and there's all the videos should be there.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah? Okay. So again, if there's something that I'm talking about that you click on and you can't see, let me know. But I went through and I looked, and I'm pretty sure all the settings are right. The joys of technology. If one little button isn't clicked, sometimes things don't go according to plan. But there's six different videos in there already, and I have a bunch more interviews that I'm going to be doing throughout the next 3 months. So there's going to be new content added there as we go throughout the program. And I'll be sure to let you guys know what that is. So I'm pretty excited. There's going to be some really, really great guest speakers that are going to be coming and sharing their expertise with everybody. I really try to make this program a really organic process. And I'm really adding to the material. It's not just static. So as soon as I learn something, I'm adding it in. And if we're going through any of the modules and you have a question and you feel like it's something that you wish was covered, let me know. Just put it into the group and say, hey, you know, is this covered, or, you know, do you know anything about this? And basically what I do is I'm just adding stuff on the fly as well, just so that way you guys can get the most out of your experience. So if there's something you'd like to know about and it's not covered, let me know, and I'll do my best to put it in there. I really value your feedback as we go through this process. Does anyone have any questions about the membership site or the online community at this point?
Yes, I do. Summer?
Sure.
So do we access the material even after the course, or the access is only during the training process?
So during the 3 months, and then there's an extra 2 weeks. So essentially you'll have access to the program materials until mm-hmm. the end of the year. But okay. essentially the downloadable handouts are it is the course. So that you can download and you have access to for forever. But the actual website itself, you'll have access until the end of the year.
Excellent. Okay. And regarding questions, if you want to email questions, do we email you on the regular email, or is there a special like forum or spot that we can email?
So that's the online community, and I was going to connect with you because I noticed that you hadn't been able to sign up. So you and I, after the call or on email, we'll get you in there, because that's the place for any communication, things like that. That's the place to get a hold of me. I kind of hang out in there most of the time. If I'm not in session, that's basically where you're going to find me, Monday through Friday. So I may not be in there immediately if you have a question, but I'm definitely getting to them as soon as I can. And it's also a place, whether it doesn't even necessarily need to be a question for me. What I really find the benefit of that group to be is everybody sharing with each other and sharing your opinions. Like I said, I'm so impressed with all of you in reading your intakes. There's so much experience in this group, and you all have something really valuable to share. So don't be shy. There's nothing worse than showing up to a party and saying, hey, what do you guys think? And nobody responding. And then nobody talks anymore, and it just becomes a bunch of people staring at each other, and it starts to get awkward. Please feel free to ask questions. Please feel free to answer questions. I'll absolutely pop in, and it's okay just to say this is my opinion, and we're all experts in different areas, and even if it's just the expert in your own opinion, that's great, because you have so much to offer each other. So please feel free to just jump in, even if I haven't answered something or even if I have, because that's going to be really valuable feedback for everybody as well. Mm-hmm. With the one-on-one calls, as of Monday, there's going to be a link on, and I'll send it out to everybody in an email, but it'll also be on the membership site where you can actually start booking yourself in for your calls. Feel free to use them whenever you would like. You can use them anytime within the 3 months of the program. And if you realize
that point, what is that again?
So for the 45-minute, the one-on-one calls, for everyone, you'll be able to just book yourself in for the calendar, whatever that fits for you. And then also, if you've maybe used up your one-on-one and you're thinking, oh, I'd still like some more just one-on-one time, you can actually just kind of buy a session just a la carte. Or for the first month, you can actually upgrade your program. So if you're in the group coaching, but then you want to move into the personal mentoring option, you can do that within the first month of the program. So that's available to you as well.
Excellent.
And I think that's it for just how it all works. Does anyone have any questions just about the logistics so far?
No. For me, no.
Okay. All right. Well, and again, I mean, as we go along, if at any point throughout the program you have a question, let me know, and I'm happy to answer it.
I just have a question.
Sure, yeah.
It's Janine, and I'm just thinking, yeah, so we're a nice group, and I'm wondering if there's, like, as the program goes, if we'll get to know each other a bit more or sort of start to recognize, or I guess that happens on the online community, or... What do you find?
I find that it really depends on what people put into it. I find in every group there's always a couple people who just like to kind of come in, and I call them my lurkers, where they come and they'll listen on the call, but they maybe don't necessarily say as much, and they'll read everything in the group, but they don't necessarily contribute as much. And they're often getting a lot out of the program, but they're just maybe a little shyer or just not feeling as comfortable contributing. So I find for the people who really are in a place where they're saying, I'm gonna talk on the call, I'm gonna put stuff in the online community, there really does start to be a group and a community that starts to build. And that's where I'd really encourage everyone to put yourself out there, because what I find happens is people actually start to build referral networks. They start to build supervision networks. They start to actually build a community that actually carries them well beyond the program. So that's where I'm hoping that will happen, but it just really depends on what people are willing to put in.
Yeah, that's great.
Sounds good. Okay. And on that front, actually, because obviously with the phone, we can't really see each other, so it doesn't quite feel as personal. Because of the size of the group, we actually do have the option of using video conferencing. And so I wanted to put that out to everybody. So you'd have to be at your computer, obviously, just so that way we could use the webcam. It's relatively easy for me to set up. What we would do is, because everybody needs a G+ account to actually use the online forum, we would use Google Hangouts. And what I would do is basically I would send you a link. You would just, again, need to go into your profile and just make sure that you'd enabled that option. And then, again, they would be recorded, and you could place them up on the site. It's a bit persnickety just on a first call because everybody's still getting themselves signed up and just getting settled into their team. So I didn't want to risk it tonight because it usually, if it's the first time people have used Google Hangouts, sometimes it takes a couple runs at it. But I'd love to offer that as an option because it really does then, you're actually seeing people. And it makes it a lot easier from a perspective of you can see when someone's talking, you can, you know, we can actually just raise our hands if we want to say something next. Like it's a little bit easier to build that community when you can actually look someone in the eye. But I wanted to check with everyone to see if that was something you were interested in.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, perfect. Well, so what I'll do is I'll get it set up for the next one, and I'll just invite everybody to try to log in maybe about 15 minutes before if you're able, just so you can make sure that everything's working properly. I'll be online, you know, and I can help walk everybody through that process, but then that way we can get started right on time in case there is just, there's always, I know for me when I did my first Google Hangout, there was the where do I click and how do I find it and all of those things. It's very straightforward once you know where you're looking, but sometimes in the beginning you have to click on a few things. So I'll send out all the instructions for that and we'll give that a try for next week because I think especially just where everybody's at, I think that'll really just help build that sense of community when you actually know who you're talking to. I will set that up for next time. Perfect. Okay, so now this week was much more around just getting the lay of the land of where you're at. I wanted to see if anybody had any questions as far as the insurance and the associations piece, because that's really the one where it's going to be unique to each of you as far as what that's going to look like. And I just wanted to see, I've connections to a few of the different associations, so there are some questions I can just answer based on what I know about the different associations, if you did have any questions, and same as far as the insurance. So I just wanted to see if anyone.
Yeah, I've got a question about insurance.
Sure.
I just put in my application with the BCACC and was doing a little bit of research on some of the liability insurance options that they offer. And I'm just curious, it seems to be like varying amounts that's offered for liability insurance. And just wondering what your recommendation is for the amount.
For me, I always go for the most. It's probably overkill.
Yeah.
But it was such a small amount of difference in the cost between the two. Mm-hmm. I figured if I'm going to use it, I wanted to know I had the five, because I believe that they offer it in 2 million and 5 million live.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went for the five just because I figure it's so unlikely I'm going to have to use it, but if I do, I don't want to have to be worrying, and it would just really suck if it was 4 million and you only had the two.
yeah, totally, okay.
Yeah. And then, I really recommend getting both of the professional liability as well as the general liability.
Yeah, okay.
If you're renting your own space, and even if you're actually renting someone else's space, I still recommend actually getting your own general liability insurance.
Okay.
And again, it might be a little bit overkill, but I just look at it as if anything happens with theirs, or depending on where they got their general liability, if they even have general liability, but if they do, but there's a clause that it would only cover them specifically if they were in their own office and not someone else. Insurance, every policy always has some weird, wonderful things in there. So I just always feel like it's just, again, for the cost, we're really lucky in Canada, and because most of us are getting our insurance through our association, they've negotiated such good rates that for me, it's just peace of mind for the extra $20 or $30 that it costs to just know that I'm completely covered.
Yeah, totally, totally. Thanks, Constance.
Yeah, thanks, Courtney. Anyone else have any other questions around that?
Yeah, I had a question. So the professional associations, I'm a
part of the BC College of Social Workers. I'm just wondering, possible, which I was going to look into this since, I don't know, maybe you'll know this. Is it, you know, would it be helpful or is it even possible for me to register as a clinical counselor, like in the BC Association of Clinical Counselors, or are they like essentially the same thing or?
So you're with the college and you're wanting to also then be with the BCACC, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing with they're actually different, and so there's benefits to being part of both. With any of the colleges, what those do is they actually protect your clients. What the associations do is protect you. So that's the difference between them. And often they'll offer somewhat similar services, but what the association's purpose is basically to provide you with support, to provide you with insurance, to provide you with information, and while also being a bit of a portal so clients can find you. Whereas any of the colleges, their role is actually more of like regulatory, so that basically the public knows that if someone is a part of this, they've met a certain standard, and also they could file charges and someone could technically lose their license from the college. Whereas with an association, someone could just not pay their membership dues, and that's really the end of it. So if I were you, I would probably look at being a member of potentially both, whether it's the BCACC or even looking into the CCPA. I'm a member of both, and I find that they both offer different opportunities. So it just depends on what it is that you're hoping to get out of this, but both would offer slightly different opportunities for you.
Oh, okay. And it's possible then as a social worker to be a part of those associated, like with the CPCA and then CAACC?
I believe so, because basically what they look at is your qualifications and that you actually have a certain amount of coursework and you have the clinical practicums and things like that. And so because you can actually do clinical counseling with a Master's of Social Work, I believe that you would be covered. I've seen people in there who are social workers, so I know it's possible. And I would just check with them to see specifically what it is you need to show from your coursework. But I believe that you won't have a trouble with that.
Okay. Hi, people. I kind of jumped in mid conversation there.
I saw you sneak in. So Kaya, thank you. Maybe what we'll do is at the beginning of the call, we had everyone just do a quick introduction of kind of where they're at and where things are at for their private practice and who they want to work with. So maybe we'll just jump you in now, and then we'll go back to some questions.
Okay, I'll do that. Apologies to everyone for this kind of out of order interruption. My name's Kion Davies. There's, I think, from registering in the Google Plus group, I know I've got a couple friends already in this gang. I'm not sure if either of them are online here. But Courtney and Tanu, I know from UBC, where I recently completed my master's in counseling psych. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm working right now in a few different part-time positions. I just came from work as a crisis counselor, crisis intake counselor at SFU. So that went a bit late today. That's why I'm late on this call. And I'm also working at UBC and also in for the Surrey School Board. And I'm at very early stages, have been for a few months now in my private practice. I've rented a space. And I've even seen a client there, but I really haven't got my marketing or anything like that together. And along this commitment level and the time blocking exercises were helpful to just get a sense of how realistic things are moving forward with all my other job commitments. I'm just trying to figure out how to move forward, or if I maybe need to pause and put things off for later, but I'm really excited to join the group and to connect with the other folks that are on here too on this call as well.
And so that was actually a perfect lead-in to the, well, actually, does anyone have any other questions around the insurance or the associations?
I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good.
Perfect. And again, obviously, if anything comes up, I know there was a question in the group as far as does somebody do various insurance except CCC more so than RCC, et cetera. And in my experience, if they'll accept one, they'll accept the other. Where you're generally going to run into issues is there's not a lot. I feel like more so nowadays, just because companies are really starting to value mental health services for their client, for their employees a little bit more. What you'll run into is that they will cover registered social workers, or they'll cover registered psychologists, but they won't cover clinical counselors. And that the reason for that is because as clinical counselors, we don't have our own regulatory body. We don't have a college of counselors. And so they've basically said because there's no official regulatory body, they won't cover it. In my experience, I find that if that's the company's stance, what they usually are actually trying to dissuade their employees from using the benefits, but they'd like to say that they offer it because they often will only offer about $300 per year, and then they'll say you can only see an RPsych or social worker. Social workers often will be able to, a couple sessions, or whereas with RPsych sometimes they might only be able to get one and a half sessions out of that. So often people end up not using it. But I haven't really found that there's been a big difference between RCC and CCC. It's just more if they'll accept either of them or not. So, but I would love to hear if someone runs into that, definitely let me know. But I know I haven't run into that where they'll accept one over the other. It's just more they'll accept our site or us. So, okay. So with the time management, I know this is one that often I go through with my clients in my counseling practice, and I find it's a really powerful exercise to actually start getting down to how much time do I have in a day, and is my plan realistic? And it's something I do with myself. I find that it's really for me the only way that I can keep on track with all of the different things that I'm doing is being able to actually block out sections of time where I can really devote to one project and then know for the rest of the day or for the rest of the week that I don't have to think about it, because that's actually, I have time set aside in the week where I get to think about it or I get to worry about it. So I'm just wondering, what were people's experiences as you were going through and really blocking out, these are all the things that I have on my plate currently, and where am I going to fit this in? Does it seem doable given what life looks like for all of you at this point? Anyone can start.
I'll start. Carmen here. I thought it was good. Like, it was a good exercise, and it just sort of made concrete, I think, commitments, and it was, I found it was a good exercise, and I'm already revising, I think, the plan that I put forward, so that was good. I thought it was good, like, paired with the discussion about kind of incorporating rewarding activities and this and that. Mm-hmm. I sort of had to block some of those things in, and I think probably the biggest thing for me that it forced was consideration of taking on additional things. So I had, I think, a pretty good handle on my schedule as it exists, but I have a tendency to, if somebody asked me to do something, to take it on, and so it made me, I think, a bit more cognizant of what I had on my plate already, so that when those demands came up, I felt a bit more kind of, I don't know, wary, I guess, about overloading myself. So that was my experience.
Perfect. Thanks, Carmen. Mm-hmm. Anyone else in a similar boat? Not everyone at once. Come on.
For me right now, I'm kind of going through a bit of a transition. So I just moved from Vancouver to Nanaimo. And so things are kind of in flux right now. I just kind of transitioned out of a job that I was in, and I'm going to be starting up some work starting in October. But there's a lot of uncertainty around what my schedule is going to morph into come October. So kind of like Carmen, I think it was important for me to think intentionally about my schedule. And I also tend to take on things as they come just because, well, there's a lot of things that I really love to do. But so I think it was really good for me to reflect on the things, or just kind of get a good sense of my priorities as things start to add up on my plate, and I transitioned into some of my new roles. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thanks, Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyone else? Janine,
I definitely, this is Janine, I can definitely relate to the schedule in flux. So when I looked at it and I trying to piece things together, I'm not exactly sure what it's going to look like, or in the end I have lots of directions I'm going, but in the end what's going to pan out and what am I actually, what's my time commitment going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
And I could also relate to I often, like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll just squish that in and
mm-hmm.
run out of time. So, yeah, I could relate to both.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and something that you can – oh, sorry, go for it, Kyan.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say that I'm in the same boat as everyone else that's just spoken with. I'm not sure where I didn't get a chance to hear everyone's introduction before, but particularly just coming out of a program, I think it's kind of a stage of career development where you really feel like there's a necessity to say yes to everything, even like regardless mm-hmm. of what your own sort of, you know, personality is around that sort of stuff. It's like it just feels the pressure of the scarcity of the job, the economy and the work environment that you just feel like you should take every kind of contract that comes to you. But then I've been trying to work on this practice thing on the side for a few months, and it's no surprise that things just don't progress when these other opportunities are like realistically, when I look at my behavior, I'm valuing them more than this project, you know. So mm-hmm. so I guess, yeah, this is really a part of committing to this program as well, is about making that commitment to myself, making that real in a way that's not that I can't just like hide it, like kind of sweep it under the rug, like, oh well, that's something I'll get to in my magical free time in another dimension, you know. But something that I have to take accountability for. Yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Kyan, how about for you, Tanu?
Yeah, I was just, as Kyan was talking, just kind of that last bit that he mentioned really resonated with me, just in terms of, I think I'm also, like a lot of people, in a real period of transition and trying to figure out what it is that I do want to do and what is it that I do want to make room for. So this time management thing was really good for me, because I tend to have a really kind of, I don't know what you call it, like I have two young kids, so I'm kind of running around with them and bringing them to places, and just my schedule's kind of all over the place. And the fact that I'm kind of, because I'm done the program, not having like regular childcare, just kind of forced me to see that I need to kind of start reincorporating and calling on those people that supported me previously to like build that in regularly again, so that I can focus on this, because it isn't just going to happen magically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was important for me.
Perfect. Wonderful, thanks. How about for you, Samar?
Right now I'm focusing to start small, like to devote like one day for my practice,
mm-hmm.
And another day for the planning part, like the office itself and accepting clients for one day, and
mm-hmm.
and another day for the planning part and knowing exactly where I'm at and all that. I didn't go through the online stuff yet. I'm planning to go through it tomorrow and then be prepared before, yeah, the next call.
Okay, perfect. Well, and it sounds like a lot of you are in a really similar place where a lot of people going through big transitions. And even just starting your own practice, there's a transition in itself on top of all of the other ones that you have going on in your life. And that was what I was really hoping to highlight when we were looking at building your business identity, or essentially stepping into a new role in your life. And when we're stepping into something new, there's actually no way that we're going to know what it's going to look like. So a really big piece of this is taking your best guess and then trying it out. And especially for those of you who there's a lot of other moving parts in your life, you can even pull the time blocking back. So it's not a forevermore I'm going to block off my Saturday afternoons, let's say. Even just bringing it down to week. So picking a time every week that is your plan your next week time, and actually just time blocking each week. So knowing how much time you want to set aside, and then fitting that in. Ideally, I would say do it at least 2 weeks out, just so that way, you know, if somebody says, hey, are you free, or hey, could we do this, you have a bit of future perspective to know what you have available to actually say yes to. But if it feels too big right now, just because there's so many factors that you just can't account for, even just pull the focus a little bit closer and just do a few weeks of blocking at a time, and then just find 20 minutes a week that's your time when you look at, okay, what are the next few weeks going to be? And that way you can start accounting for some of those new pieces that are going to be incorporated. Because right now it would be really hard for some of you to say, oh, I'm going to be able to set aside this much time, say, for the next 3 months, when 4 weeks from now life might look really different for you. Something to try.
Excellent. Thank you.
No problem. Well, and something that I know for me, I in the beginning when I started like really truly time blocking my life, is I got really stuck on, well, that's when I said I'd be doing that thing, and then when I didn't do that thing because I was tired or because something else came up, I'd really get down on myself. I was like, oh, you're falling behind, you'd know better, this was the time you're supposed to be doing that. And so the whole time I wasn't doing whatever it was I was supposed to be doing, I was also emotionally beating myself up and telling myself how crappy I was for not doing my thing. And so there is a really big piece of compassion that I'd really like you to infuse in your schedule. there's the plan, and then there's life. And sometimes it's just not going to happen. Sometimes we were overly ambitious. I know for me, something that I used to do was I when I originally started doing this, I said Friday mornings was going to be my writing time. I was going to block off the morning on Friday. I was going to write everything, and that was going to be great. And do you think by the time Friday rolled around, I wanted to write a single word? Mm. Not at all. So this didn't happen for probably, I think I did this for about a month of saying Friday morning, that was my writing time, and not once did I write a single word on a Friday morning. And then I realized that was just a really bad idea. By the time Friday rolled around, I was tired, I was exhausted, I wasn't feeling creative at all. And what really shifted for me was when I realized, okay, that was just a failed experiment. Like, the experiment was Friday mornings for writing. That which is, it's not going to work. I just need to adjust the plan, as opposed to being so stuck in it has to be Friday mornings and then just beating myself up for the fact it wasn't happening. No. So for all of you, I'd really just invite you to just take your best guess, even say for the next 4 weeks, and then see what happens. Are you able to fit it all in? Do you need more downtime? Do you need to maybe take some things out of your schedule? Do you need to move some things around? Really just being curious with your schedule, and also looking at it as, is there some resistance showing up? Is it that you're actually too busy, or is it there's a little part of you that maybe is apprehensive about getting started or not really sure what to do next? Or is it just legitimately you have way too much on your plate? Because as we go through this process, your stuff is going to come up.
Our business really is a reflection of who we are. And so I just want you to notice what's coming up. Is it, are you able to meet your deadlines? If not, just be curious, why not? Sometimes it's just logistics, and sometimes it's our stuff coming up, and it really gives us an opportunity to then look at it and help move it through so that we get out of our own way, so we can really build our practices. So, does anyone have any questions around that?
I guess I just need this is summer. I just need I feel a little bit overwhelmed by the talk. So it's like maybe like a little bit of a summary of like, okay, so now we need to do 1, 2, 3 kind of thing. So block time for the next 4 weeks. This is all we are talking about right now, or there's something else that I missed?
So when you go into material, there's actually going to be the action steps of this week.
Got it.
Want you to look at these things. I want you to post this in the group, and I want you to think about this. So all of that's in there, but obviously if you're in there and feeling like I'm not quite sure what to do next, absolutely let me know, and I'm happy to walk you through it. But yeah, in the material, there's every week I've tried to make it really clear around only focusing on what we're focusing on that week.
Okay.
So that you don't start to feel overwhelmed. And if you are, absolutely just kind of throw up your hand, and I'm happy to really support you through all of that, because sometimes it's we just need to be able to talk it out or ask a question, and that's where I'm kind of floating around in the group, even if you're just saying I'm working on this one, I don't know, it just doesn't quite make sense, or this is what I'm thinking, you know, does that make sense to anybody else, and just getting that sounding board from either me or some of the other group members.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Summer. Great. So that actually brings us to the end of our first call. It flew by. But does anyone else have just any last-minute questions around really anything, whether it's about the site or the content for this week?
I have a small practical question regarding the format of expectations for the group posting. I know, and I apologize to everyone online. I just registered yesterday, and I haven't done my introduction yet. So I want to be diligent and catch up on all of that and participate the appropriate amount. So I'm just looking at week one, there were a few, you know, people kind of trickled in different amounts of info regarding different themes in the week one content. But I it wasn't clear to me if there was a direction about if that was just open contribution wall, or if there was an expectation that there were certain things we should comment on, like, you know, our fears for entering practice and some of the comments that were, you know, that different members chose to share.
So in the content, on the bottom of some of the pages, there were action assignments. And so one of them was sharing some of your apprehensions, sharing which regulatory body that you're going to share, register with.
Okay.
So there's a few prompts that I'll put in there.
I did go through, sorry to jump in. I did go through the reading. So I just noticed that, I guess I was just wondering if I was missing something because the contributions were sporadic, right? But I did go through the content and I noticed there was multiple topics, but so was that just kind of, that was just the way it kind of came out, basically.
So as far as what people were sharing in the group, is that
exactly? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there was, you weren't alone in the fact that there's quite a few people who have only really been able to get themselves signed up in the last day or so.
Okay.
So that's why there's some people that have participated and there's some people that haven't, just because they haven't actually been able to either read the content yet or they weren't able to get themselves signed up. So there's definitely going to be prompts throughout that I would really love for people to participate with, because that's also where I can really engage with you between the calls, and so we can really, really work with the material, and we can go back and forth and get feedback also from other people. And then also, there is an aspect of just ask what you want to ask. So it doesn't have to be just specific to even necessarily to what we're working on that week. I just ask that if it's something, let's say if it was something to do with marketing, that you just tag it with that week so mm-hmm. we can keep all the marketing things together.
Okay.
But it's really a place of just use me. My brain
okay.
is yours for the next
okay.
3 months. So
okay.
any questions that anyone has about anything, please feel free to use the group. But then also, I find without a few different prompts around things, sometimes people aren't really sure what to share. So I definitely put a few little try to share this in there, but it's there for your own purposes, and we'll really make it what works for everybody. So really how you guys end up using it is what it's going to end up looking like. So please participate as much as you can.
Thanks for clarifying that, Constance.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Thank okay. you so much, Constance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
No problem. Thank you, everybody. And like I said, the recording will be up tomorrow. And I'm in the group, so feel free to ask any questions. And like I said, I'll get us set up with a Google Hangout for next time. I'll have this call as this phone line as a backup for next time. So if something goes really sideways, we can always jump back on the call, so we can actually still have the call. But I'm anticipating it'll probably work right away.
Awesome.
So,
thanks,
all right,
Constance.
Perfect. We'll have
okay,
a great
thanks.
Night, and we'll speak to you soon.
Bye,
okay,
guys.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. All right.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.